Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
This episode of Panukmi contains discussions and depictions of residential schools, including sexual, emotional, physical, and spiritual abuse and abduction. Please take care of yourself and your community in Chimiigwech. Welcome back to Panukmi. I'm so happy to talk to you guys again this week. I was sick last week, but we're back at it again, and we're back with a familiar guest. My best friend Tegan Smallwood, TCTE short fiction contest winning piece, Passion of Christ. This spring semester, I had a chance for my final project in my sound design course, accompanying an audio recording of a short story or a chapter. And I chose Tegan's because the story is very compelling. And I remember back when we were in grade 11, specifically, when I was reviewing drafts and, you know, seeing the final project and seeing the reception we were getting from our school. And the feeling I got reading this is still carried on today when I was interacting with this piece for this assignment. And, you know, from a sound design perspective, also looking towards previously, Tegan and I collaborated a lot in a theater background. We were co-directors a lot of the time, as well as co-actors in other plays that we were directed in. And I think that for my whole purpose of this show, showing contemporary writing, contemporary conversations with Indigenous people, modernizing, even though modernity has its own colonialist perceptions, serving contemporary display of storytelling and dialogue and connection and connectivity through art, I feel like this piece and the relationship that I have to Tegan in regards to this piece is a perfect example. I remember a lot of times growing up with Tegan in more of our younger youth, experiencing things with Tegan, and then that being then translated into poetry about being an Indigenous student in a dominated white upper middle class school in Toronto. And there's a certain level of validity that grants you, especially at such a young age where that's all you really kind of want, is to feel valid and as well feel heard and feel seen by others. And I thank Tegan for that. I thank them so much, and I'll thank them again when I call them later for this interview. But yeah, I look back on what we went through and what that ingrained level of caution that is in the experience that we share as Indigenous youth in modern day Canada, that I guess still needs its own examination. And I feel like art is the best way to do it. And another example for that would be a song that I had wrote a couple years ago for my band that I was in, Jeez Louise, a project that we had back in 2024, I believe. Yeah, I wrote this song about how kind of I saw the colonialist project as a war zone. And I felt that as a white passing Indigenous person who was granted not necessarily privileges, but a lot of opportunities and advantages, resources, I felt like I was given a bigger shield. And I felt that carried a lot of shame, that carried a lot of guilt, especially guilt that I didn't know what to direct towards. And this song that I wrote a couple years ago was that first step, and I want to share that with you all. This is called Wicked. It is off the Jeez Louise album. Today Was a Great Invention, written by yours truly, Caitlin Terrell. Hope you enjoy. And back with Tegan. Misrepresented, unnecessary, to be seen as a human. I'm swimming in the shore. have much to say about myself in particular. You guys already know the half of it with me, but I wanted to say that I had an incredible time making these albums with my friend Wilder, and goodness gracious, I like being at SFU, but once I'm done, I'll be pleased as punch, because that means I'll get back to doing this. And yeah, I had a lot that my dad is very lovely to have. And yeah, lovely times. I'll try to call Wilder today. Anyways, back with Tegan. We are back again today with the irreverent, the glamorous, the ever so charming Tegan Lily Smallwood, otherwise known as Tegan Winter Moon. How are we today? We have very different climates, as we previously talked. I'm here in my super, I mean, there's a peak little bit of sun right now. It's kind of partly cloudy today. I think we're hitting 17 degrees today, kind of normal, kind of fine. Still some breeze going on a little bit, but how you doing back there in Ontario, dear?
We've hit high 20s for the first time, I would say, and it's very nice and exciting. It's feeling more and more like summer, but yeah, as we discussed, the heat is a little bit much at times, and yeah. I'm a little nervous because when I was living up north, it really didn't hit past 30, but I feel like in that time in Southern Ontario, it was pretty regular to have like 35, feels like 40.
Oh yeah.
So I'm
down
not...
in the city, it feels like 45, I swear.
That sounds heinous, but
yeah, it's a crime against humanity, and we'll get to that soon. To many other kinds.
Otherwise, I'm doing well, though.
That's amazing, and thank you for letting me do my favorite thing that I like to do periodically when I need to interact with other people's writing. Is that I dug up your past writing
from the archives.
Yes, I. And I know I hark back to our youth, but I feel like that's very much the nature of this show. I remember the waves that you making this story did for my life. Like, I remember it was like, it felt like before Tegan was writing the story, while Tegan was writing the story, and after Tegan wrote the story. I think that this was like the first time that I ever saw an Indigenous student, let alone an Indigenous person around my age, be so like vocal on what kind of art they wanted to make, specifically what kind of Indigenous lensed focused art they wanted to make. And I think, yeah, it was incredibly inspiring to me. And I also, you know, at the time, I mean, we knew each other. There's a reason why we connected so greatly. I feel like I also, a certain level of, I guess, I wouldn't necessarily repressed anger because I was a very loud child. But I feel like that's sort of, I mean, angst is the word for it. But I, of course, angst is now, I mean, it seems a bit like a silly word, has to do with white people listening to punk music. Not to dog on other shows on this station. But like you writing the story really channeled that anger that was repressed and not something that was necessarily shared between our non-native peers. I mean, I can say this for myself. My grandmother went to residential school. She went there from the age of 6. I think I recently heard stories about her making a few attempts to escape. I can't necessarily confirm that right now. And then I think even more like the trickle-down effect of like how Catholicism through education was used and how that affected Indigenous people. I mean, from my grandma then going there, she then saw that as like a good education model. So then my father and my aunt and uncle went to
a Catholic school because it was like the safest school and had the best education there was, and that was that. But at the same time, of course, the reality of my father then facing racism at this school, of course, being in the 70s, and of course, looking visibly indigenous. There's a lot that I feel like was talked about in that story, and a lot that, like, I remember like telling my father about that story just to like see how excited it made him and things like that. And like, I guess it was, you reverberated something within me. And I feel like that is the exact reason why you won this award. I mean, it was a no-brainer. I mean, ask our grade 11 Canadian literature teacher, Mr. Todd Lights. He would agree. He helped you a lot with the story, right? What was that like?
Oh my gosh, he was like, Todd, if you're listening, he was honestly like probably one of, if not the best teacher I think I ever had. Just in terms of his like unwavering commitment to his students, and to see their, just to really like, he just wanted so badly to see like the best in all of us, no matter what that looked like. And I think he was just very, he was like very non-judgmental when it came to what any of us wanted to explore and write about in our work. I think like
He honored our very specific different worlds of creativity, I remember.
totally, like, and even if he didn't really understand it, like I feel like he would just want it to be like right in there with you. And I think he just did such a great job of like building my confidence as a writer. And I feel like without his support in that way, like I don't know if I would have like found my voice in the way that I had and have since. Yeah, it was just like so super supportive. And you know, there was things within the story that like thinking back, like I feel like he offered like a great amount of like challenge to things, and then but also like support. Like it was never like he just wanted me to like be the best writer. It was never about really like the content. It was like, okay, so you want to tell this like pretty upsetting story. So like, how do we tell this story with? And I think he taught me a lot as a young writer, because I think like even I reread the story, you know, today to in preparation for this, and like it is really like it is like a really upsetting narrative for so many reasons. But I was impressed with how 17-year-old me like navigated that, and I don't think it was like, I think I and with his support, like the different like kind of nature motifs or moments of like peeking back into the main character's life, that I think like provided a bit of solace or just filled the story more than just straight like kind of over the top like dark trauma
High
stuff.
drama, yeah. Segued into our second music break, but I guess I will now. This next track is by Australian Aborigine artist Thelma Plum. I'm obsessed with this song right now. It is called Better Than Black, and it's just kind of about, you know, owning the scars that you have and your imperfections, and you know, you've been hurt before, but you're finding power within the place that you're in. And I think that kind of transverses, and I know that I originally stated that I wanted mainly Canadian Indigenous and North American Indigenous artists highlighted, but I feel like the way how hurt I felt by this song was so profound that I think it's a perfect example about this interregional solidarity between Indigenous people globally. And I think for this episode, of course, we're talking about such horrific themes and, you know, highlighting a story that depicts such a horrific time, such a long-spanning time in history, with chapters that still haven't been resolved or closed, or certain things be resolved and people laid to actual rest. And it's something that is very upsetting and very angry, but I feel like within, like, the metaphor, I guess, comparison of my relationship to this Thelma Plum track kind of signifies the way that all Indigenous people can relate in a form of solidarity for the extractivist and acts of extinction amongst our populations, and how every day is a choice to keep going and be the person you are, because every day is an act of resistance. And some of the great things that life can give you is being very pumped by a song that makes you feel heard and makes you feel seen. So why don't we switch it up with a fun little pop track by Miss Thelma Plum. Here's Better in Black.
For 40 years, the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SFPIRG, has been helping students build communities at SFU. Campus organizations like Out on Campus and Embark developed out-of action groups at SFPIRG. Action groups are one of the ways that student activists can take action for change. Visit us at www.sfpirg.ca. That's www.sfpirg.ca to learn more about starting your own action group today.
Hello, this is Kelly from the Peak Publication Society, SFU student-led newspaper. Recently, news organizations have been facing issues sharing news content. All news outlets, including small publications like us, have been affected due to Meta's refusal to comply with the Online News Act and compensate news companies. We have been serving our diverse student community for years and need your support to continue. If you'd like to contribute as a paid writer, illustrator, or photographer, follow us on Instagram at thepeak at SFU. Keep reading our stories at the-peak.ca. If Meta is listening, we're just a community promoting SFU events. Please don't block us again.
I think, as well as you mentioned this before, I wanted to also acknowledge another great thing about Todd Light. Love you, Todd Light. Hope you're listening to this, Todd Light. I'll send this to you, Todd Light. But I remember him being, at least from what I can remember, at least specifically in this classroom, I remember he was one of the first teachers that I felt was working with me. Like, I feel like he, like, worked, like the first time as a student I ever had an adult be my collaborator. Mm-hmm. And of course, because I was very, very grateful to have such great teachers, that that wasn't a very unlikely occurrence in the later years of high school. But yeah, I just I feel like he was a very, because you were in his class at that time too, right?
I was in his class in grade 11.
Mm-hmm. It was the class I left.
Yes.
It was the class I left.
Yeah. You left earlier in the semester or whatever. And then
And you thought it was because that my crush was in that classroom and he rejected me and that's why I left. A lot of people thought that. But no, it was a just so happened to be. I had to fix my schedule, but just so happened.
Work in your favor.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I only had him for the 1 year, but I think I did only have him for the 1 year, but he like stayed very close in a way, like, mm-hmm. even though I only had him for the 1 year, like, I remember I would still, in like later writing endeavors in high school, he was always like open to reading my work and mm-hmm. giving personal feedback and like attended my plays and mm-hmm. Was just like a big like cheerleader for me in that way, and like felt like a teacher I could go to for like writing outside of school that I was working on or other projects for school. Just like talk to him, like feel like I would just like sit in on his classes if I had spares. Like, we were just, he's the real one.
Literally. Something that, as I was interacting with this piece, because of course I chose this piece for my final project in sound design, sound and narrative, where I sort of turned this into some sort of like radio drama audiobook type deal. I remember when I was interacting with this story again, I printed it out. I like annotated everything, where all the beats were, what kind of sounds I wanted to use, what each scene was, organizing them, sort of like a play in a way. And I remember, because the central figure of, I mean, it's the title of the whole story, Passion of Christ. It's the imagery of him being crucified at the cross, but it's also the pose.